This Sunday's New York Times Magazine contains a post-9/11 story of almost Shakespearean pathos. Contributing writer Susan Dominus reports that a number of New York firefighters have left their wives for the widows of firefighters who were killed at the World Trade Center. Susan Dominus joins us now from our bureau in New York. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Lay out this story for us. How many firefighters and how obviously their families has this affected?
Fire department sources say 10 or 11, and they say that there might even be more that they're not aware of. Those are just the ones that they know about.
And you particularly focus on one family.
Yeah, I wanted to go in deep to really understand what happened in one family and hope to extrapolate from there.
And describe for us the wife in this family, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing the last name correctly, Zazuka. Zazuka, yeah. She says that her husband told her that he was leaving her on September 10th, a year to the day after 9/11.
That's right, although he doesn't necessarily remember it that way. I mean, and of course, she reads a lot into that date, and she thinks that the demise of their marriage had everything to do with 9/11. He thinks that maybe it was that day, maybe it wasn't. It doesn't really matter. The marriage was never really strong to begin with, and that a chain of events happened after 9/11 that enabled him to see that and to find it, in his mind, a happier relationship.
Mm-hmm. And found that happier relationship, though, with the widow of a man who was killed at the World Trade Center.
That's right. They'd actually met, really connected for the first time at a funeral of another colleague. You know, I think that part of that is very shocking and seems strange to people from the outside. And I think to them, it was just natural that if a marriage was going to end and he was going to end up with somebody else, that person probably would be within the firefighting community. It's a very tight world. They understand each other really well. Mm. It's a lot of socializing.
And one of the oddities is that if a tragedy happens, a firefighter is killed, normally the whole firehouse sort of reaches out to his family and his widow and tries to make things better. And I realize I'm assuming now that the firefighters killed are men, but this historically has been accurate. So the whole firehouse reaches out, given the scale of what happened after 9/11.
Exactly.
One man was asked to go and console the families, and a lot of them became involved.
Yes, and I have the sense that there was something ad hoc about the way that happened, that very often it was a family friend who was the closest to the man who had died, who kind of took it upon himself. And at times there were people who were officially assigned, but they kind of dropped away and other people stepped in and became the official liaisons. That's the term that they used. And in some cases, those relationships became romantic. That was not the case in the Zazukas, by the way. They met separately. Mm-hmm. But in other cases, just even very complicated platonic relationships evolved, cases in which a widow became very... This is as was described to me by the head of the counseling unit, you know, cases in which it was a platonic relationship, but the couple was still over-involved and, you know, the firefighter couldn't maybe spend as much time with his own family as maybe he should have been because he was so busy taking care of this bereft woman.
We're speaking with Susan Dominus, and she's the author of an article that appears in the upcoming issue of the New York Times Sunday Magazine. It's titled One Very Tangled Post-9/11 Affair. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. There's obviously opportunities amongst all of this for armchair psychologists. One of the things you speculate about is the idea that, you know, firefighters, given their nature, their jobs, seek to rescue people and things, and that's an aspect of what's going on here.
That's absolutely what I expected to find. And I think in some couples, there might have been an element of that. The couple that I got to know the best, in the case of John and Debbie, I have to say I didn't really find that. And I think maybe survivor's guilt could potentially have something a little bit more to do with whatever emotional turmoil led John to leave his family. But I don't get the sense that he was rescuing the widow. She's a very strong woman. She's financially secure. And I think that, you know, she was happy to meet somebody. But that's always the interesting thing about reporting is you go in with one expectation and sometimes what you find is different.
Mm-hmm. Financially secure. Susan Zazuka, the wife who was left, suggests that money may have played a part in her husband's decision to leave them.
That's actually something I heard a lot from other widows who had just started dating people, whether they were firefighters or not, that everybody assumed that the men they were dating were really only in it for the money. Not to a widow, but I definitely heard people saying that. It's a recurring theme. And, you know, of course, money does make a situation more comfortable. It kind of eases things a little bit and can, you know, even when you don't know that's what's making it easier, sometimes it mm-hmm. does.
Yeah. One of the things that you also write about is the extent of the disruption of these people's lives after 9/11. A lot of them worked second jobs. Firefighting does not pay all that well in New York City or perhaps in many places across the country. But that these second jobs became unavailable to them because they spent so many months at the pit after 9/11 looking for the remains of their comrades.
That's right. I mean, or their businesses sort of went down the tubes while they were away from them and they didn't have the energy to go back to it. I also spoke to men, firefighters, who told me that after 9/11 they had wake-up calls and they didn't want to do the second job anymore because they wanted to be able to attend every baseball game and be there for their kids. So on the one hand, some of those families benefited. On the other hand, there were financial strains that went along with that.
Yeah. Susan Zizelka sees herself as a victim of 9/11.
She says that she identifies with the widows in that 9/11, a chain of events following 9/11 left her without a husband. She applied to the Red Cross for assistance, and she's seeing in her son the same kind of anger and angry outbursts that she sees in the sons of widows with whom she's friendly in the neighborhood.
And in a lot of ways, the most poignant situation you describe is the anger between John Zizelka and his daughter, Kristen.
Yeah, that's a very sad rift between the two because they once were very close. They had this very strange fight over car payments that culminated in a scene in the garage with John backing up the car and Kristen screaming at him to stop because she was right behind it. And neither one of them thinks she was ever really in danger, but to her that was really a sign that her father was just a completely different man from the man she'd known, whether that was because of 9/11 or because he'd left his family. But she said that was a real break for him. And very strange behavior.
And the woman he's now taken up with also has a family, daughters. And at one point, cell phones got confused. Kristen, his daughter by his first marriage, ended up talking with the woman's daughter whose father was killed.
Yeah, and the two had never really spoken before, and I think it was a very, as I say in the piece, it was as if two parallel lines suddenly decided to cross. You know, I think that they have a lot in common in that they're both desperately missing their fathers, and as to who's the better off, I think that neither one of them necessarily could say.
Hmm. The oddity is that, as you write about, at least in this circumstance, two women's lives were utterly changed on the day of 9/11 by the events that happened that day and what happened afterwards. And oddly enough, it is the woman whose husband survived who's having the more difficult time.
I think that's true. I mean, there's no doubt that Debbie misses her husband terribly and that there's been huge upheaval in her life. And, she's certainly still mourning at some level. But I think that she's moving forward in lots of ways, whereas Susan Zizelka is really financially strapped right now. I think I think that leads to a kind of anger that's very hard to make peace with. It makes it hard for her to move forward.
Susan Dominus, thanks very much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Susan Dominus' story, One Very Tangled Post 9/11 Affair, is published in the coming Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Susan Dominus joined us from our bureau in New York. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.